Good morning, everybody. So today, as if you saw on Facebook, I'm talking about Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman. And we've been talking about different heroes of faith. This woman, every time I read about her, I wonder. Like, she makes my imagination go to places. And then I'm like, okay, stop. You can't explain it. It's God. What would you do if you saw a gorgeous 90-year-old pregnant woman? You would wonder. And that's why I called her a Wonder Woman, because in my head, I just don't see it. As I was researching and thinking about this, I was like, okay, I'm going to look at some pictures. Maybe I'll find a beautiful picture. And some pictures that I found, I want to unsee. You know, I mean, at certain age, women are not supposed to be pregnant anymore. It just doesn't look right. It looks weird, you know? And so how many of you know who I'm talking about today? Sarah. I'm talking about Sarah, Wonder Woman Sarah. But the Bible tells us she was 65, then at 90 she was still as gorgeous and as beautiful, and then she got pregnant, and what a Wonder Woman she is. And whenever God is talking about, the Bible is talking about a woman, I'm there. Like, I want to know more about her, because there's a lot of men in the Bible. And I relate to man, you know, I read through stuff, and I relate a little bit differently probably than you got, you know, the man do. But whenever I see a woman in the Bible, I'm there. Because I want to be like one of them. I want to be like that special. You know, I don't want to live my life and when I'm gone, nobody noticed. Nobody cared. You know, my kids cried. My husband was like, you know, praise God. No. No, I want to leave this earth and people stop and they say, something is missing. That's how I want to live my life. I don't want to live my life and just make myself comfortable and make my life comfortable and just make myself happy. That's boring. I don't want to live a life like that. I want to be one of those ladies and one of those men who is in the Bible and God is bragging about them. And God is saying, through them, I've accomplished something in this earth. And so when I see a woman like that in the Bible, I'm there. I'm reading about her. I'm researching about her. So we're talking about heroes. And heroes are, you know, in our mind, they're this amazing, big, supernatural people that are different than everybody else, are better than everybody else. That's why they're superheroes. That's why everybody, you know, they have a special light thingy, right, to call them. I don't know, I'm not into superheroes, but, you know, they're special. And we look at them as like, I could never be like that, but at least maybe I could meet one day. But I think through this series, Pastor has been teaching us something very important through God's word, is that to be a hero in God's book and his kingdom, you don't have to be super special. In fact, Pastor Alex showed us how God handpicked some losers, handpicked some people who seriously, you know, couldn't speak, anger problems, everything, prostitutes, everything that could be wrong with them was wrong with them. And God takes them and he says, this is hero. What is one superpower God's hero needs to have or has? Faith. What is one qualification God's hero needs to have? Faith. That's it. That's the only thing God is looking. Everything else he'll supply. He'll take Samson and he'll make him strong. Samson was not strong because he was lifting. Samson was strong because he was born with anointing and purpose in his life from God. You were born with anointing and purpose on your life from God. And everyone has a very special and different anointing and purpose. I am excited. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's get into Hebrews 11:11. Because of faith, everybody say faith. Because of faith, also Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age for it, because she considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable, trustworthy, and true to his word. Who was reliable and trustworthy and true to God's word? Sarah? Was Sarah the reliable one, the trustworthy one? No, God was the reliable one, the trustworthy one, the one that's true to his word. And all Sarah have to have is what? Faith. That's all. I just want you, if you get anything today, and I'm so going to try not to go too long because I prepared so much and I get too excited. But if you take anything, take this today. All he wants from you is to believe that he is God and his word is truth. And no matter what, who comes and gives you facts and science and says that God is not true, can you have faith and believe that God is God, all powerful, almighty, creator of this world, and his word is true. And he will never let you down. Now, in your eyes, sometimes, you know, in our eyes, it looks like, God, you let me down. He's up to something. He will never let you down. You look back to the time when you thought you were let down, and you will see that you were so up to something. And that was the time of your life that prepared you for who you are today and to accomplish what you need to accomplish in this earth. Faith. Now, Sarah wasn't always Sarah. She started as Sarai or Sarai. Different pronunciations, and her husband was Abram. And Sarah wasn't a superhero. Sarah wasn't perfect. Because I think a lot of times, that's how I think about women of God, about men of God, that, you know, they are perfect. You know, all these people God calls and talks face to face and calls them friends, and they're according to his heart. They're just perfect people. But again, learning so much through this series that Sarai was not perfect. And very quickly, we're just going to go through some of her faults. And I'm sure they're not all here, but some of them were recorded in the Bible. So important thing about Sarai, she is called with her husband. Her husband is called. He's 75, she's 65, no children. God calls them, gives them a promise. You're going to have multitudes. You're going to have nations come out of you, no children. This woman, I don't know. I mean, God bless her heart. That's why maybe she's in the Bible. She just follows her husband and she says, no children, leaving everything. This God we never knew before spoke to my husband. Okay, packing up, leaving, going. Faith. You know, guys, we have the word of God today. You know, you get down, you look in the word, you lift yourself up. They had no Bible. Like, I wonder a lot of times, how in the world, Abraham, how did you keep on going from 75 to 100 years with no Bible? How do you do that? Faith. Now, we have the Bible. We need to use it. So I'm not talking about against that. So they pack up, they leave, they go to the promised land where God sent them, and it's famine there. So they gotta, you know, the husband has to provide for his family. He takes them to Egypt. Now, Abraham, knowing that his wife is at 65, very gorgeous, that other men will notice her and they will want her at 65. Again, I mean, I've seen some very beautiful ladies at 65. But I think at 65 and older, and that's what I want to be known for. I want to be known for my kindness. I want to be known lovely for my what I've done in this world, you know, for love toward others, for being there, for helping hand. And I think, you know, you see sometimes beautiful women and they radiate that beauty, but it's kind of from the inside. You don't look at her and be like, you know. So, but again, that's why I called her Wonder Woman. So he says, honey. This was interesting. One of my friends asked me the other day, she was like, what would you do if your husband gave you away to another man just to save his behind? let's not go there, okay? What would I do? I ain't no Sarah. but he says that to her. Can we just pretend you're my sister? Because, you know, they're going to want you. They're going to come and get me, kill me. We don't want that. Can you please protect me? Now, okay, this was a little bit different. This was a different time they lived in. The time that they lived in, you know, they had multiple wives, and women were not in esteem that God created women to be. Now, you know, I want to put something in here. Some people say that feminism liberated women. Jesus liberated women. Jesus was the first man who came, and he treated women with respect. He treated them with... We all have different callings, and for to announce his resurrection, to announce that he's coming back from death, victorious, he chose a woman. Because you know why? Because I think if he chose Peter, and Peter would be like, okay, Jesus, all right, so I saw you crucified, I saw them pierce you, I saw you taken off the cross, I saw you, you know, being put in a tomb, that's not you. You know, men are logical. Let's 1, 2, 3 logic. You know, but women, we have that, it's easier for us to believe. So when Jesus appeared to Mary, she was like, Jesus, and she started running. And see, we all have our different purposes. And Jesus and God, he created us like that. And so I thank Jesus for freedom today. In Christ, there is no female or male. In Christ, there is no woman or man. We're all equal, and we're all with beautiful to him and with different assignments. And so she lies. Sarai goes along and she just lies. This hero, woman of God. Now, guys, you have to understand, this could have been the end of their marriage. This could be where everything falls apart. This could be the end, Abraham, of your promise. This could be the end of why you left In the first place, what are you doing? This could be, that's it. She goes into Pharaoh's house, she becomes his wife, one of his many wives, and that's it. What are you doing? But sometimes, praise God, he kind of intervenes, and he was like, for his namesake and for his purpose, he comes in. And so he, I don't know how, the Bible tells that people in his home started getting boils and tumors and, just different plagues. And, you know, some speculations are that when he tried and get busy with Sarah, she told him, I'm a married woman. You know, but I don't know how it happened. I'm just speculating. Because the Bible says that he came to Abraham and he told him, why did you lie to me like that? This is your wife. So it doesn't say how it all happened. So he says, here's your wife. Take her back, liars, and go. So this woman of God, she lied. Then we see them wander a little bit longer, and Sarah is like, okay, the clock is ticking. No baby. Let me help you out, Lord. You know, because sometimes Lord needs our help. You know, he can't kind of figure stuff out on his own. Have you ever heard yourself pray? I haven't heard myself. I've heard others. I'm sure I've done it. But, you know, when you hear others, you're like, Lord, if you could just do that, or, you know, you could just do this, just bring him need before you say what you need, and he'll figure out a way how to do it. You don't need to give him suggestions and options. You could do that, and you could do this. But, you know, this is so typical of us. We wanna help him out because, you know, God, he needs our help. And so she is like, honey, here is this beautiful young woman that Sarah probably brought with her from Egypt. You know, she'll have a baby for us. It's going to be my child. It's all good. It's still good. You know, we get a baby. It's by the laws of how they lived back then, the baby would have been born into her knees, into her, into her Sarah's arms, and he would be Sarah's son, Sarai at that time. So they go with that. Abram is down with that. Little boy is born. And God, are you done? Can we move on with my plan now? Can we do what I said to do now? Then this Wonder Woman, when her servant Hagar gets pregnant from her husband, and she sees that, oh, I am young and pregnant, and, you know, I'm carrying a child. And we women, when we become pregnant, we kind of become a little bit, I don't know, cocky. I don't know. Like, I'm a goddess. I'm creating a life in here. That's how I felt anyway. And so she's walking around all, you know, and she starts making fun of or being kind of mean and, you know, putting herself above Sarah. And so Sarai comes to her husband and she says, it's your fault. You made her pregnant. Ladies, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. Let's just, seriously, how many times, all the husbands are like, ooh, ooh. No, I want to be liked by women in this church. Just go there in your head, okay? And then she starts being mean to this servant of hers who is carrying child for her. Oh, and we can be mean. She was so mean that she was evil, that this poor lady, pregnant lady, decided that it's better to or die and to be in the desert and run away and might die there than to live in the same house with this lady. God's superhero, God's woman. Then the story goes on. Angel comes. I think at this time, she's 89 and her husband is almost 100. And God comes and he says, your wife will have a child. And where is she? And she's right there in a tent, listening to everything, minding her own business, right? You know, I'm just doing stuff here. And when she hears that, she just laughed. And she laughed inside herself because I'm pretty, you know, she couldn't laugh just out loud like that, because if she could hear them, they could hear her, right? So she laughed inside. And now we see God speaking to her. Yes, he's speaking to Abraham, but he is speaking to her. He's speaking to her heart because she's feeling it. She's talking to him back. And he says, why did your wife laugh? Is there anything impossible for God? Is there anything that's so hard that he can't do? And she feels it right here. And you know what? I hope that right now God is talking to you like that. That maybe, you know, you're trying so hard to hear me with my accent. And you're like, which is a good thing. I'm so glad, you know, they have an accent that you know, you have to listen so hard. But I pray that God is speaking to you right here. And he says, why did she laugh? Why did you laugh, Sarah? Is there anything impossible for me? And I believe at this time, she's like, I didn't laugh. You know, again, they can't hear her. She's in a tent, but she's talking. She's having a conversation with the Lord. And so she laughed at God, but I think at this point, she believed. Because Pastor gave me a cool phrase, and I'm not going to claim it because he said it, but he said, in order for her to conceive, she had to believe. Because remember, that's the qualification, faith. She had to. So she laughed. She did all those things, worldly, fleshly things. But at the end of it all, she believed. You know, with God, it's not how many times you fail. With God, it's not how many times you fail. Because righteous man and woman will fail. Righteous doesn't mean perfect. Although the devil comes and he beats you and he wants you to stay down because you failed. But a righteous man and righteous woman, they get up. Let's do this. Fall again. Whew, no, hope nobody saw that. Let's do this. Doesn't matter how many times you fall. As long as you get up and you keep on trying and you keep on going and you keep on believing, I promise you this, but at the end, when God is done with you, you will not regret it. When a potter makes a dish, a vase, well, I guess I don't know how they make them nowadays. You know, I took a potter's class in school, and I imagine that's how you make all of them. I don't know. And so, you know, some, like, you mold it, you make it into something you want it to be, you break it because it, you know, doesn't listen to your hands or whatever. And then you make it again, and you make it again, and you break it again. And so, see, all the process kind of doesn't matter. Because at the end, when you're all done with it, and you brought it to, you know, like arts and crafts, or, you know, you had potter had an order from like a client, and they said, this is what we want. When he brings them that finished vase or finished dish, that's all that matters, is that final product. It's not how many times he tore it down and remolded it again. How many times he put it back, you know, broke it and put it the way he wanted it again. It's not about that. It's about, and somebody might have been watching the potter when the clients were absolutely happy with the vase. Somebody could have said, you should have seen how many times, and somebody, the devil, you should have seen how many times that vase was broken and made over and over and over again. That's not how it was the whole time. You know, you should have seen the process. The process was ugly. But the buyer don't care how long it took to make this pot. He sees the beautiful product. That's all that matters. So guys, no matter what you've been through, no matter how far, how deep, how low you got, it doesn't matter. As long as you get up and you keep your faith until the day Jesus Christ takes you home, until he comes. My second point is that Sarah had her own important part in this whole promise of God. Let's look into Genesis 17, 16, and I'm reading from Amplified. And I will bless her and give you a son also by her. I will bless her, and she will become a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. This happened after Sarah already, Sarai, tried and helped God, had a baby throw another way, and God comes in and he was like, okay, let's do this my way now. And Abram says, well, Lord, I already have a son. Come on, we kind of got this thing going. Let's just finish it. And God said, no, it's with you and Sarah, Sarai, that you're going to have a baby, and that son is going to be that nation, become that nation. The only way, and the happiest people in the world, are people who know their part in God's kingdom, who know their role, who know what they're here for and what they need to accomplish. Because let me tell you something, and I'm very, very, this is something I'm very passionate about, is about your destiny and your purpose in God. You could be the best of anything, anyone in the world, but if you're not the best of what God wants you to be, you're wasting your time. And let me go further and tell you are miserable because you're working on something you're not purposed to do. It's like Pastor was preaching a while ago and he said, you know, imagine a drying machine or, you know, a dryer or washing machine, you know, saying that I want to be a car. And then going out of its mind to try and get people from place to place. Wasting your time. Maybe drying clothes is not as, you know, as glorified as being a car. But if that's what you were created to do, do it well. And so Sarah, she had to find out that she had a part. And I once in my life, well, not once, no, I'm lying, a lot of times, but I just remember time of my life when I was did not know who I was. When we started this ministry, we were young. I was very, very young. And I think at the time of our ordination, I was like 20 years old. I had no idea how to be a pastor's wife. Like, what do I do? I look at others, right? I look at other women who are pastor's wife. The only problem is they're all in their later 40s, 50s, and I'm 20. And so to act and to look like a 50-year-old when you're 20, it was awkward. I still have pictures that I was like, what was I thinking wearing that? But see, I looked at some of those ladies. That's how they dressed. They would, like, back in the day, they would have those long suit, and it would be like this suit material, and it was like a long suit skirt, this very conservative blouse, and long suit jacket, and my hair and everything was like, I looked at that picture, I'm like, oh my Lord, forgive me. But I was confused. So I was looking to everybody, show me. I was looking to people to tell me how I need to act, what I need to do. And then at one point, I even gave my ministry, my call that God called me with my husband, I gave it to another woman. I said, I'm too young, let her do it. And oh boy, I paid for that. Just like Sarai paid for her mistake. And just like Sarai, I blamed my husband and said that he didn't handle it right. And do you know your part? Do you know your part in his kingdom? That's very important, because if you don't, your life here on the earth is going to be in vain. Do you know what is it that you need to do? If you don't, you got to find out. You got to get with your Lord and you got to ask him. And once he clears that picture out, once he shows you, you throw everything you have and you become the best of that. You become the best mother if that's your calling in this life. You become that best mama that teaches that boy, that teaches that girl, everything about Jesus and God that you know. You become the best father, the best provider, the best protector. You become the president if you have to. Find out what it is. Sarah had to find out that it was through her, at her old age, that God is going to raise up a nation. Can I say something about husbands and wives? If you came with your husband or with your wife, can you hold their hand quick, just fast? You were given to each other to help you accomplish your callings. You know what the devil does, and you know why we have such a problem, and this is such a hurt for many, many pastors, why we have so much divorce and why we have so much separations and so much pain in this world, is because devil comes and he says, he is destroying you, he is making you bad, she's, what are you trying to, you know, lift her up, you go live your life, what? And we start living our separate lives. I've been there. When I had a time in my life when I said, let him do his thing. Let him be the pastor. I have my baby. I just delivered a child that I waited for a long time for. And I was like, I have my child. I will just enjoy him and raise him and be all about him and let him do his thing. And again, that was the time when I dearly paid for it. I see so many talented people, so many men and women with gifts, with big callings in their life, going into nowhere, doing nothing, because they're not supporting each other, they're not lifting up each other, but they're putting each other down, or just leave each other on their own. So if you're sitting by someone you love and you promise to live with them, would you commit to them again that we will lift each other up and we're going to help each other's callings? Because now that you're one, your calling is one. You help her, she becomes what she needs to be, you will become what you need to be. You help him to become what he needs to be, you will become what you need to be. Okay, I just wanted to put that in. And my last point is God calls her by a new name. And that is a very, 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 this was very important to God, and this is very important to me and to us today. In Genesis 17:15, it says, and God said to Abraham, as far as Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. In different translations that I looked up, and in the most literal Hebrew translation, Sarai means argumentative. Interesting, huh? And then Sarah, the name that God renamed her, means princess, noble lady, ruler. You know, people might have a name for you. And in fact, Y'all have different minds. I don't know. I have the mind of Christ, right? No, but seriously, we people, you know, starting from kindergarten, aren't we great at making up names for people? Seriously. Like, you look at those little kids, like, what do you think can understand? And they'll already start naming each other and naming people names. One time, I heard myself say it, and I was like, oh, Jesus, Lord. We were talking about somebody who, I was telling somebody a story, and I could not remember the lady's name. I was like, well, you know, that, you know, her, the one that can't have any kids. And I felt it right here. How do you call people? But that's what we do. Later on, she had a baby, and she's blessed and happy and everything. My name didn't matter, what I named her. But you know what? You hear somebody name you and call you by a name long enough, you'll start believing it, you start living it. You see, people name us by our past, by our sin, what they know about us. God names us by the destiny He has for us. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, you have that name. And God is amazing at changing people's names. What is your name today? Are you the abused one? Are you the raped? Molested? Divorced? Broken? Bitter? Served time in jail? In prison? Wife beater? Criminal? Are you ugly? Slut? Cursed? Are you known as broke all the time? I'm here to tell you that those names are not from God. Those are not how God looks at you, and that's not when He calls you by your name. He doesn't call you that. Those are the names you got from people, and those are the names you got from the devil, who is a liar. And you've been believing that for way too long. Today's the day you need to take that name off and say, I don't go by that anymore. Didn't you hear? I don't go by that anymore. I am blessed. I am not weak no more. I am strong. I am not poor. I'm rich. God changes people's names all the time. It's very important to have people around you. Once you receive that revelation from God, once you receive that you're no more the old self, because Jesus, we're known that God makes us new creation. We're new now. It's very important to have people around you. Like Abraham, God told Abraham, don't call her Sarai anymore. Don't call her that. Although others might. But you don't, because you have authority in her life. Don't call her that anymore. Call her Sarah, princess, mother of many. It's very important to have people in your life who will uphold you. You can stop everybody from behind your back, naming you, whatever they name you. But it's important to have those that know your worth and know and see what God has for you. And one of those people was Pastor Judy for us. When we came, I always said, I'm too young, I'm too young, I'm too young. People already told me, stop saying that, you're too young. How old do you need to be not to be too young? But that's what I would call myself. And she was the first person who told me that, no, you're wise beyond your years. And so like she just started telling me that, you're wise beyond your years. You're wise beyond your years. I'm too young. No. And she called me that. And I don't believe I was wise beyond my years, but because she called me that, I had to rise up to that. And when we came here, Pastor Alex did not have any plans and didn't have any desire to be a pastor. But she saw that in him and she said, Pastor. And we come from a very conservative background where you don't just call people pastor. You have to go through, like, you know, years of training and you have to, you know, prove that you're reliable. And then maybe then you're going to be named a deacon and then something more and then a pastor. And she's just saying pastor. And he's like, don't call me that. She was like, no, pastor. And she would just on purpose call him pastor. And guess what? He had to rise up to that. From Jacob, liar, or heel holder, to Israel, God calls him. From barren, the one that can't have any children, the one that's what she's known for. How I talked about that lady. Jesus, forgive me. And the Bible tells us that she's going to be known as mother of many children. From orphan girl to queen of Persia. From shepherd to a king of great nation. From prostitute to a matriarch. Do you hear him call you by your name today? Saint, do you hear him? He knows your name and he's calling you by that name and he's changing. You're that no more. Now, after God changed Sarah's name. Was she perfect? No. She still and went and lied for the second time that she is the sister. It's like, sister, haven't you had enough? She goes and she lies for the second time to another king that we're just brother and sister. And that house gets warning from God and she gets returned to her. She was trying to get rid of Abraham. No, anyway. We don't become perfect even after God changes our name. All you have to do is have faith. Have faith in God that what he has promised, that his word is able to produce the result that he sees, not the result that we think this is what I want. He will bring it to completion. And at the end of your life, you will never regret believing in him. Father, I thank you for that new name that you're calling your people today. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're calling, that you're speaking to our hearts right now, and you're accomplishing your work, Lord. We take down those names. We take them off. Those names that are not from you, those names that were put on us by people and by your enemy, devil. We take them off in the name of Jesus to never look back at those names again. And we receive the new name that you gave us, that only you know. And so we look to you to know who we are. We look to you to know what we need to accomplish. We look to you, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you're working in your people and that you're accomplishing your will. And that not one life in this building is going to be wasted in the name of Jesus Christ. If you feel in your heart that this is the time that you have to surrender your sin, you have to bring everything that wrong that you've done before God's throne. Give it to him. Ask him to forgive your sin. Ask him to give you the righteousness of Christ, to wash you clean. If you've never done this before, if you've done this before, but today you feel that call in your heart again, I beg you, don't leave here without him. If I'm talking about you and your heart is racing and you're just getting so, you don't understand what's happening to you, I'm talking to you. Jesus loves you. He died for you, for your sin, so you don't have to live with sin. You can stand before God, all clean and pure, and enjoy his presence. I know there's people in this place. I know, I feel you. Pray with me. Say, Jesus, forgive me. I repent of all of my sins. I don't want to go back to them. I give them all to you. And in return, I accept forgiveness, righteousness in Jesus. I pray that you help me from today on to live out purpose that you have for my life and to bring many to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Give glory to God.